if we're not yet conscious of these open energy centers, and if we are unaware of the trapped emotions in our body, they can be misguiding our decisions with fitness and food. And they can start to become the way that we show up in our habits and behaviors. So really understanding your open energy centers from human design and how it's all coming into, like, I love like how it's just designed. Like, it's just designed so brilliantly. And when we're able to tap into those, we can pull from this where our most aligned self is desiring to show up. Like, what do I need to heal right now? Like, what am I really trying to get out of this food source? What am I really trying to get out of this exercise and this fitness? Like, I'm full right now. Do I really need to have more nibbles and more bites? Or am I really yearning for nourishment elsewhere? Am I really yearning for, you know, nourishment from, you know, elsewhere in my life? And I feel like, so the spleen is our open, or is our, sorry, not our open, but our energy center that holds our intuition and controls our food and how we show up for all of that. So I tend to draw in people with an open spleen, because if they are requiring support in their food and nutrition, and they're not understanding why they're making these choices, they're just not connected to it. And what we can do there is there's a lot of like emotional density that can be trapped in, you know, that we're trying to fill a void. We're trying to fill a void. We're trying to nourish ourselves, but we're over nourishing ourselves with food.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Flow Ninja podcast.
Welcome to Jody Dean's Flow Ninja Podcast.
Hi there. Thank you so much for tuning in and having a listen. My name's Jody Dean. Some people think of me as a 21st century mystic. I'm a spiritual guide, a soul awakening coach, author, a speaker, an actor, and I love being creative as much as possible. I'm very empathic, I'm highly intuitively endowed, let's say, but I believe that we can all turn on our intuitive gifts and experience the multidimensional universe in all its many different varieties, and it's something I actually teach. So if you want to know more about any of that, if you want to activate your multidimensional magnificence, step into your full soul mission and alignment of purpose, and explore all the joy and heartfulness of reality, then just go to my website, jodydean.co, jodydean.co, and you can check out more there. Regarding this podcast, if you enjoy it, please do give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Would really appreciate that. If it resonates with you, it does help to show this podcast to more people, and you know, help it move up in the ratings. So thank you so much again for listening, and please enjoy this episode. So in this episode, I speak with Cassandra Ann Glass, who is a cosmic body calibrator, body transformation specialist, and an intuitive wellness coach. Delightful woman. She is actually really, really interesting in the sense that, you know, I didn't expect to have the deep and truthful conversation and elaboration that we reached to or for the multiple little rabbit wormholes we went through. And, you know, I was really pleasantly surprised by that because she has such a depth to her and definitely a kindred spirit. So, yes, I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Happy listening. So I'm here with Cassandra Ann, intuitive wellness coach and body transformational mentor. Hello, Cassandra.
Hello, hello, Jody. So nice to be here.
I'm great to have you. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Cassandra, I mean, I'm... your name already is like Cassandra. Oh my God, like the Greek, you know, the Greek yes. myth or legend or history. I'm curious about that in itself. Like, do you have premonitions?
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, thank you. And it's so interesting that you bring up my name, because Cassandra Ann, I am really starting to own and claim for myself as my given name. It's been something that I have tried to actually step out of over the years and go with my nicknames, Cassie, Cass, Cass Glass, all of these other identities that I've even given myself over the years. And I'm stepping into Cassandra Ann. And really claiming more about who I am. So I'm not 100% sure on the origin of the name. However, my mother was watching one of her favorite shows. Oh my gosh, I can't remember which one it was. But anyways, I'm named after one of the actresses in her favorite shows. And it's interesting because as a child, Cassandra Ann, or the parents would throw down that middle name when they're giving you heck, right? They throw down that middle name. So it's always been something that would trigger me. So my name would even trigger me. And this leads into all of the emotional and energetic stuff that we're going to talk about today as well. So yeah, coming out here today and speaking to you and your audience and your community as Cassandra Ann is a big step. And I just feel my heart like expanding right now.
For me, it's a very powerful name.
Not gonna lie,
you know. And I love to dive into names and the meaning behind the meaning and why our soul chose that name. And all of those, you know, like, what is that behind, you know, the surface? Ooh. And Anne is a very high vibrational name. For me, actually, I have a lot of clients that come to me who are Anns or Annas or Hannahs. It's so interesting that thread, right?
Yes.
And of course, it's also in your first Andra is in your first name, and yeah, this Cassandra thing, like, you know, that, you know, what is that's about the future. It's about seeing the future. It's about, like, you know, I'm wondering how that, you know, maybe there's a connection there with your work.
Like, yes.
Like creating the future for people, right?
Oh, full body vibes over here. Yes. Beautiful. This is why I'm stepping into the name. Yes, exactly.
I mean, you're an intuitive wellness coach. I mean, Cassandra is all about that intuition of the what's, you know, to come, right? As well, what is and what is to come.
Absolutely. So, foreseeing their bodies. So I called it their quantum body. So foreseeing their quantum body and how they can step into it, right? This is exactly how I mentor and lead my clients. Foreseeing. So, wow. Thank you for that. Holy.
You're so welcome.
Yes, cool.
So tell me more about this foreseeing.
Absolutely. My superpower is in reading energies. So I'm very sensitive to feeling, and I pick up on the density or the restriction in my client's physical body and in their field, and in relation to also how their body desires to move this energy through, how their body desires to integrate their being into their body. So I foresee their activities, I foresee their exercises that will support them in their energetic recalibration.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Wow. Okay, tell me more.
Oh, well, tell you more, shall I? Yeah. All right. So when a client comes to me, okay, so I've been in the health and fitness industry for 12 years. Grew up as a competitive dancer, so I've always been really into movement and how the body can flow and how it feels and how it just integrates every aspect of who you are and how we can express ourselves. So when I stepped into the health and fitness industry, it was very much in the idea and the intention of weight loss in the very beginning, and kind of the traditional ideas of fitness and what it is to transform our bodies. And it was very driven by shame or blame or some sort of disconnect was always the motivation behind it. And the more that I worked in this industry and the more clients that came through my doors, I really was able to feel into and tap into what was holding them back from their desired physical body or from their desired routines or habits or behaviors. They know that they feel better doing this activity, but why aren't they showing up for it? Right? Mm-hmm. Why are we no longer showing up for ourselves? And that now became my mission, was to not only support people in their exercises or their movements or their training, but also in how they can connect with that. So they can connect the vision and the vibe with their physical body and with their energetic body. And being able to really remove these blocks for them, being able to remove the shame and the guilt, shifting the mindset and their energetics to the new intention of what training and what fitness can really provide for us. And
beautiful.
So yeah, really merging the energetic emotional self of what is stopping you, right? So being able to feel into that for my clients and then giving them the exercises that will align with that and support that really helps them to connect with why they're showing up. So they're actually feeling this, like they're being pulled forward into their quantum body, and they're understanding their routines and their behaviors on a much deeper level, and they're wanting to start showing up now. Mm. Right? They want to show up for themselves.
That's so key. I feel that's so key. So I mean, obviously, like, so personal kind of anecdote here is just like last evening, yesterday evening, I ate really late, and that, you know, I have a tendency at times to slightly overeat. Okay. Right? And it's just like, I think it's also like chasing a dopamine rush or something like that, right? That's what it seems to be, because like I can feel like I'm quite, you know, body conscious, and I can kind of feel like, oh yeah, that's definitely enough now in the belly.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, but I just love a bit more of this, like, and just. And I noticed the pattern, and I'm like, what? And then I'm just like, why do you do that? You know, it's late, and it's like, and then you go to bed with this full belly, and it's kind of like in the morning, and it's like, I generally don't tend to eat till like 1 anyway, but 1 p.m. During the day. But I think there's a fear in me as well that comes up in the morning, like, I'll have to eat something in the morning. And then that will like throw me off, because I actually enjoy having an empty belly. It's weird, right? This is weird.
No,
right?
Yeah. It's not total, at all.
Like on one side, I want like a really full belly and like overfill.
Yes.
And in the morning, I actually want really empty belly. And I'll actually often do a coffee enema to empty myself, like fully, right? And, you know, that's like a bit of a weird kind of addiction in a way that I have. And I'm spilling the beans here, you know, like, but it's like these kind of like extremes, and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's interesting. And then I'm like, you know, I was just thinking like when I was getting up this morning, like, yeah, did you have to even eat last night? I mean, I hadn't really had a meal that day yesterday. But there's always that question. Did you actually have to eat like last night? Or could you have just had like a little snack and then just gone, I'm going to go to bed with like a belly that isn't like full. It's like just a bit full or something. And, you know, I'm aware that everyone, you know, listening to this will have their own story. Around, you know, their body and their food and everything else. Okay, I don't have like, not that I'm aware of, I don't have like big body issues with like my shape. I've been blessed with a very naturally athletic body. And so have my brother and my sister. It's funny one, you know, it's just like genes. And I don't need to do almost anything. So people, you know, ask me, remember I was not like at school, high school, and people, you know, be like doing this, flexing my muscle, and people be like, oh, you work out so much. I'm like, oh, actually, I don't work out at all. It's kind of funny in a way. I don't mean to kind of make people envious of me or anything, but it's just like the truth. It's just, that's the truth of my body. So it's an interesting theme around all of this. I'm just like, I'm actually really enjoying just having the space to explore it. And with someone like you, who's, you know, very intuitively connected with all of this around how we, you know, perceive our bodies and what we want from our bodies. I am a health nut as well, like fully into, you know, going for like the best foods and the most nutritious foods and superfoods and all of that. And I also love the pleasures of food and to enjoy meals and also not be kind of really, I must be, you know, fascist about it, and mm-hmm. you know, yeah, allow myself a bit of a dessert at sometimes, or you know, whatever I kind of fancy. But I do kind of, you know, generally tend to navigate, because it feels good to navigate back towards the healthiest foods that mm-hmm. I can for my body.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just realize it feels good, and yeah. My body feels nourished, and I function better, you know. So mm-hmm. it's yeah. But I do feel for people who, you know, it like put on weight really quickly, or have real difficulty just like keeping a shape and not like going really thin or whatever. Like, I'm just yeah. like, wow, you know, like, oh God, you know, thank God I don't seem to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's interesting, even within my own little world of having, you know, quite a you know, good body athletically and stuff, like I'm still in my own cycles of weirdness. Yeah. Even so, like of suffering, mm-hmm. of like, you know, doing these weird things, like overfilling my belly and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, like, it's kind of funny. So I wonder if you could kind of speak to all of that.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I would love to, because I think it's so fascinating and powerful to witness and to hear somebody who is blessed with an athletic shape and who doesn't struggle with the physical shape of the body, right? And really seeing the fact that, you know, in society, we've been taught that a small body will solve all your problems. Like, you will be happy once you lose weight. You will be happy when you have an athletic shape. You will be right. Like, this is very society standards. Mm. And
oh my God, isn't it?
Not the case at all. And it's like the envy that we see these naturally thin body types. It's like you're showcasing to us that you also have your own tendencies, you have your own patterns and behaviors around, you know, extremes, filling your belly and wanting an empty belly. And like, where can we, how can we bring that into balance and bring that into alignment, right? And I think it's so important to hear the other side, that it's not always about the shape of our body. It is the two, right? Like, who are you in your body, first of all? And then we can start just feeling comfortable, and the shape will naturally manifest for us, as opposed to trying to just change the shape on its own. And that is where like the yo-yo comes in, and the diets come in, and the fails, right? But they're all really teaching us something. And the next piece that I really wanted to speak to was, I love how aware you are and what you shared with us, that I wake up in the morning and I want an empty belly. So why do I, right? Why do I fill it at night? And there's a couple of things that, you know, I would speak to about this with my clients. It would be, we use human design quite often. And I feel like human design is such a powerful tool to really understand, our digestion and our habits and behaviors around why we do certain things, why we make certain decisions. And for instance, my husband has this, his human design thrives eating later at night, midnight snacks, and not eating in the mornings. So there's actually a piece to our energetics that help us determine how our energy best digests information and food. So some bodies, some beings actually thrive on an empty stomach in the morning, and they desire naturally to eat more of their calories and nutrition in the evening. And if we're disconnected to this piece of ourselves, if we're disconnected to this piece of ourselves, we will again go back to society standards, and we will look into the best for our health is to eat in the morning, wake up and eat breakfast. Breakfast will start your metabolism, right? But that is based on a very, on like a one body type without the energetics piece to it. That is like just for your physical being. So I think it's really fascinating, and I love to connect my clients with their unique energy. So then we can start to create a new narrative. We can start to create a new storyline, as opposed to it being like, was I should I have eaten that? Should I not have eaten that? And then you're caught second guessing yourself. And we want to really clear that. We want to be certain in all of our decisions and our actions, so we can continue to embrace who we are, our body, our being, and that falls with everything in our life, right? If we're, yeah, that falls just, it seeps out of us into all of other areas. So yeah, the should-haves and the whys, why did I do that? That is what I really like to help connect my clients with. And I feel like it's so powerful, because then the next time that you go and have a midnight snack, you're just doing it because you're doing it, or you choose not to. Like, it's a beautiful thing, because now you're connected to why I make this decision, why I show up this way. And it's no longer a right or wrong. And yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. So there's a few points there, particularly what's comes out to me right now of my curiosity is, well, what you mentioned about the human design, because that whole, you know, body of knowledge in itself is so kind of interesting, out there, trippy. And so I'm wondering, I'm quite into, I have a curiosity around Chinese medicine. I mean, I got exposed to it when I was training in Shiatsu in the first trainings I did. And there's something around, you know, like, for example, the organs being these energy centers, also, you know, emotional centers, elemental qualities. the meridians starting there and ending, you know, somewhere else, the connection perhaps, let's say, or with organs to planets, like the metaphysical aspects of all of this, and how that affects our perception, our sensation around body, emotions, life, desires. And yeah, I just wondered if you have a perspective on any of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So again, I use human design as a tool, because just like everything you're saying, it all fascinates me. And I think it's so important just to be able to tap in and understand that there's more happening around us that are really pulling us in the directions of our life. And so I'm not an expert in that field, but I am able to really help guide my clients and guide people into these energy centers, and that then they can go and feel into, and right. So I love it, because the emotions that are stored in our body and in our open energy centers, they hold so much power, right? They hold so much power. And if we are holding on to you know, if we're, how do I want to say this? I don't want to say this. If we're not yet conscious of these open energy centers, and if we are unaware of the trapped emotions in our body, they can be misguiding our decisions with fitness and food. And they can start to become the way that we show up in our habits and behaviors. So really having, understanding your open energy centers from human design and how it's all coming into, like, I love like how it's just designed. Like, it's just designed so brilliantly. And when we're able to tap into those, we can pull from this where our most aligned self is desiring to show up. Like, what do I need to heal right now? Like, what am I really trying to get out of this food source? What am I really trying to get out of this exercise and this fitness? Like, do I really, I'm full right now. Do I really need to have more nibbles and more bites? Or am I really yearning for nourishment elsewhere? Am I really yearning for, you know, nourishment from, you know, elsewhere in my life? And I feel like, so the spleen is our open, or is our, sorry, not our open, but our energy center that holds our intuition and controls our food and how we show up for all of that. So I tend to draw in people with an open spleen, an open spleen, because if they are requiring support in their food and nutrition, and they're not understanding why they're making these choices, they're just not connected to it. And what we can do there is there's a lot of like emotional density that can be trapped in, you know, that we're trying to fill a void. We're trying to fill a void. We're trying to nourish ourselves, but we're over nourishing ourselves with food, right? Because that's the only way that we know how to do it. We haven't learned, we haven't developed other ways to nourish ourselves yet, to nourish our feminine energy, to nourish, receive nourishment from the mother. Right. Tends to be in with food. Food tends to be like an attachment to the mother, or an attachment to the feminine source, because it's receiving nourishment.
Oh my God. I'm sure this is gonna like, there's going to be light bulbs popping off here. who's listening in, who's tuning in. This is just so key. I'm so curious to know more about how the human design works for that. But you know, one of my kind of zones of curiosity since the last 25 years has been the elements. In traditional Chinese medicine, the stomach, the element of the stomach is earth. And earth, mother earth, hello? Yeah, so there's this sense of, so for example, when we lie on our belly, when we lie face down on the ground in a comfortable position, but like, with the belly touching the earth, there is something that happens there that is an activation. Mm-hmm. And it is nourishing. And I was shown a way through this kind of modality called movement shiatsu, where you can kind of like touch the stomach meridian coming up. It's like, because the stomach meridian is on the front of the body. And so if the person is lying down with their face flat on the, you know, their face down, then, and you kind of come up and the body can then sink into your fingers, let's say, along the stomach meridian, this really activates the stomach and the sense of nourishment and safety and nurture. And it's so, like, I experienced this and it was so beautiful and palpable, like having that activation. It really brought it home to me, the quality of this element of earth and the stomach and like how everything interconnects. So, so yeah, that's what comes out when you share about that. It's just like, wow, it's just fascinating.
It's true. It's so fascinating, right? Like the interworkings of this and the synchronicities around it as well. Like, and sometimes it has nothing to do with food.
Yeah.
Right. It's just that's just the physical, material, tangible piece in our reality, in our 3D world. But sometimes it really has nothing to do with the food at all. And as you were speaking, you know, I was seeing you, like I was seeing a body of you like lying on the floor, receiving, or in the ground, receiving from the earth into the belly, and the energy just kind of coming up and like landing right into that solar plexus as well, and how much that ties into emotional eating. So a little correction here, the spleen is your intuition center, and then our solar plexus does control our food and desires here. So connecting the two and just having them, you know, in the belly region here, right? So that emotional tie to food, it's a big thing, is emotional eating. And again, food is the source of that tangible, when we're not taught how to balance our emotional waves or provide ourselves emotional stability. When we're not taught that, we will tend to either go without food or overindulge food. Each individual has their own method that they've developed over the years. So yeah, like that whole like nourishment and feeling stable and then grounded down even deeper, right? Like just that whole area really started to speak to me there.
It's yeah, qualities of energy, qualities. So interesting how everything interacts and gosh, what a conversation. Have you ever fasted?
I ever fasted? Okay, all right, this is interesting. So personally, I have never fasted. And coming from traditional fitness and nutrition, health and wellness, like the traditional sense of society and trying to lose the weight, and then the detoxes and the fasting and the women trying to go without, the men trying to go without. What I actually detached myself from that completely, because I couldn't get behind it in that sense. I couldn't get behind fasting, starving yourself in order to change your physical body, because it was actually backfiring, right? But now coming into and merging more of the energetic spiritual aspects of transformation and of health and of wellness and well-being, I have done a cleanse. I have done cleanses where, you know, I've done juice cleansing. I used to say, never do juice cleansing. And if you're just trying to change your physical body, please do not do juice cleansing in order to do that, because that you won't be able to absorb the nutrients and you won't be able to get the best benefit out of it. Right? There's really a true intention behind fasting, cleansing, detoxing, parasitic energies, parasites that we pick up from our foods and the man-made foods that we're ingesting. And right, when we're actually thinking about cleansing the system and allowing ourselves to activate new parts, new beings, new parts, new versions, and really shedding the old, like really releasing ourselves from old versions of ourselves that are no longer serving us, and allowing that the quantum to really become that 3D state. Like, yes, I think that fasting and cleansing done with this very soul strategy is beautiful, is very beautiful, and can be incredibly transformative. And however, I just find it fascinating that I would say for years, like, please don't do that. But it all comes down to the intention.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of meant like cleansing, fasting, all that together when I asked you, you know.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I hope to that. Can I say? I mean, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, the next piece to that is like, we need to really start discerning fasting, cleansing, detoxing, and starvation, right? Like going into eating less is going to help with your health is terrible. We need to really start stepping out of that, right? In the sense of that is how we change our body, because really the more nutrition we get, the more we get, the better we'll be. And so it's really shifting this whole paradigm into allowing ourselves more, feeling into the energy of more nutrition, more well-being, as opposed to less. And sometimes, like starvation, no. Cleanse can really bring us back to basics. So sometimes it is back to basics. I think just the way it was sold as a kickstart yourself, but you're really not ready to release your old self. It's just going to be a moment in time and you'll reverse back. So it's I feel like that piece just needed to come through. Somebody needed to hear that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My pleasure.
So, yeah. So I have a few more questions here. So I'm curious about what has been your own personal journey with your own body particularly.
Hey, how much time do we have? No. Such a good question. Okay. I gotta take a breath. So, my own relationship with my body has had many ups and downs and many phases in order to reach where I am now. So I grew up a competitive dancer, and I had an average body type during those years. As a child, I was a little pudgy child, but pretty average. And then competitive dancer, I was very interesting because during the teen years, when I was dancing, I would look at the others, the ballerinas, they were thinner than I was. I have natural athletic build as well. I'm very strong. I hold a lot of strength in my body. And so there was a lot of comparison as a teenager, but I didn't really realize until my 18th year, stopped dancing and I worked at McDonald's. I was a manager at McDonald's and I got free food. So with that being said, I would make these like crazy concoctions of food back in the kitchen. Like I would just put it all together and be like, look what I created. How amazing is this going to be? And so I went from competitive dancer, 18-year-old. I was probably I don't really know what my weight would have been, 130, 150. And I went up to over 200 pounds in like less than a year. So I really was very uncomfortable. I started hiding my body. I would wear long shirts, sweatpants in the middle of summer. Mm. And I just would hide myself. I would hide myself. And so I started going to the gym. I got a membership at the gym and I fell in love with the group fitness classes. So the group fitness classes were like choreographed. So I could learn. I learned them. I picked them up pretty quickly. And I loved that. I would go. I became obsessed. So a couple months in, one of the instructors says, "You know all of these routines. Like, have you ever thought about teaching them?" I was like, "What? No way." Right? Like, no, really? Okay. So I got my certification. I got my group certification. And that was really where I started to indulge into fitness. So now my body started to transform. It started to lose weight. But now I needed to balance my energy levels. I still wasn't eating the best. So I quit McDonald's and I worked at this gym. And at the time, I think it was like early 20s, and did not have a really good relationship with food. My relationship with food was non-existent. I just didn't have one. I didn't understand how food could help us on a cellular level. I didn't understand timing of food. Growing up, we didn't have steady meal times. My mother worked a lot. My father was an alcoholic, so he wasn't really active in the household. And we had a very traumatic like experience to one another. So we were really separated in the house. So I was very isolated as an only child. And so I would just eat boxes of crackers. That was my thing. I would just sit and eat boxes of crackers. So my relationship with food was pretty non-existent by this time, but I knew I needed to learn in order to serve myself, serve the women I wanted to work with at this gym. And so I started going deep into research, exercise research, but then also really at the time, it was a lot of calorie counting. So calorie counting became the biggest thing. 100 calorie snacks, still in those little wrappers, 100 calorie Oreos, like still like the quality wasn't there, but it was calories. I was tracking the calories, right? And interesting because I reached the smallest state of my body, 130 pounds, and went to Cuba that year. I looked in the mirror and I looked amazing, but I didn't feel connected to the body. I still felt like there was something missing. There was a void. There was, you know, did I need to do more cardio? I was already eating 1200 calories. I was already working out 5 days, 7 days a week. And it's like, I loved working out and fitness, but I didn't want it to become something I had to do, right? So there was a lot of resentment that was starting to come up in my body. Mm. And that again seeped out into the remainder of my life. So now the relationship with my body is I resent my body. I resent my body because it looks good. Something's wrong with me. Something's not wrong with me. And so a few years gone by, I jumped from gym to gym. And at each gym that I worked at, I picked up new skills. New clientele provided me with new skill sets. I learned and had different mentors throughout the years that just taught me to really expand and how to look outside the box and how to look into my natural abilities. It was so interesting. In the gym, I would bring my own equipment into the gym. So I would bring my own sandbag into the gym because the gym I worked at didn't have one. I would create my own fitness classes and ask the owner if I could do them, because I just didn't connect with the way that people were leading. And so I didn't realize that that was a like part of my gifts. I just thought that, I don't know, right? So I started to deepen into my own body and be like, there's no rules. I don't want restriction. And started just getting into that. I don't like how I feel. How can I connect with myself more? How can I do this more? How can I love myself more? What does my body truly mean to me? What does movement truly mean to me? And that started to really lead. And I just started following that energy thread of like, I can't teach women to do this because it's not working. Like, it doesn't work to count calories in the long run. I still don't feel any better about myself. So I had my first daughter. She was 6 months old, and I decided to open up my own business and my own company and my own gym and do it my way. And so I was in the best of relationship with my body at that point, because I had just given birth. I loved the pregnancy. I had an amazing pregnancy. I was fascinated by how my body developed, how it held her, my cravings. I was just like, I was along for the ride. And again, I didn't realize at that point that some women don't like when their body changes during pregnancy. To me, I didn't understand. So like, this is fascinating. And so when I opened up the business, my baby was born, and I got right back into my training because it bounced back, body bounced back. I didn't really let my body lead at that point because I thought I was still in control of my body. I thought I still had control, and I needed regiment, and I needed to be doing certain things. So it was still very hostile. It was like, the pregnancy's over. Now it's back to just me and my body. And there wasn't really a relationship. It was like living in a household with a hostile partner. Kind of was what it felt like being in my own body. Yeah. And so, I didn't know how to manage that. I threw myself into work. I threw myself into building this gym. An amazing experience there. I owned the place for 5 years, built an amazing community. However, I neglected myself. I neglected myself. I neglected my body. I let my addictions get at the best of me. I let the trauma lead, more or less. I avoided myself at all cost. And I just, because I was training others, I didn't blow up like I did from moving from competitive dancing to McDonald's. However, I put on quite a bit of physical weight, and I owned that. But now it's been very fascinating this past couple years, because I see now how I avoided myself and how tuning into the wounds that we hold within, the trauma, the relationship towards fitness and food is almost more important to manage, or not manage, but heal and give space to, than the activities of doing. Because the activities of doing can only take you so far. And I experienced that for my entire life. The activities of doing still hit a plateau. The activities of doing were still not connected. So then I went on my own journey. And I, after my second daughter was born 2 years ago, amazing pregnancy. Once again, we did a home water birth, which was incredible. Talk about letting your body lead. That I had planned a hospital birth, but 4 weeks before my due date, I just got the nudge, have a home birth. you're having a home water birth. I was like, what? What? And mm-hmm. and so I let that lead. I listened. I let that lead. And from there, it opened up a whole new lifestyle for me, a whole new lifestyle of trusting the, not only trusting the process, but trusting our body and knowing that whatever surfaces, whatever emotion surface, whatever thought surface, that we can be with that and give space to that and release. We can actually release ourselves from the idea of what we should be doing at that time. And so, yeah, I feel like there was no more strategy to get my body back after that baby. It was more like curiosity. Mm. What is my next body? Mm. What is the next version of me? Because now I'm a mother of two. Now I am this person. How does my body desire to show up in this world, right? What is my physical being? What is the match? So instead of having a hostile relationship, it was like, how can I match myself? How can I connect deeper in this relationship, in this container? How can I treat myself? How can I support myself? And I started to then receive visions of my body. So as soon as I allowed that to be and allowed that to come in and no longer tried to control the situation, no longer tried to let a textbook or a friend tell me what it's like or how it's like to be healthy or fit, and I opened up the portal to, how does my body desire to show up in this world right now? Mm. I started to get visions of myself. And then I connected to that vision. I could feel that vision. I was like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this is cool. This is a feeling I've never experienced before. My 10 years in this industry, I've never felt this connection before. This is what a relationship, this is what love feels like. Mm-hmm. I love that vision. I love that vibe. And oh my goodness, it's me. That's me. And so I started to receive the, you're going to be a size medium, right? You're going to be doing these activities. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. Like, do you accept? I accept. And everything from that moment, all of my habits and behaviors just started to align with that. And I just allowed myself to follow the lead. I gave up certain habits. I gave up certain foods. I gave up certain things, not because I thought I needed to, but because they no longer resonated with the vibe of this new vision. They just didn't feel, I wasn't attracted to them anymore. Right. So it's like, yeah. And now it's very interesting. I love my body. I love who I am. I wake up every morning and I walk into the washroom and I see my body and I'm just like, hey girl, what's up? Like, it's like you wake up and you see your partner and you're like, oh, I'm so glad to wake up with you. And just yesterday I received the next vision. My next quantum body is available to me. My baby is pretty much done nursing. We're still nursing after 2 years in the evening. So my body served that purpose for her. And now we're all going into the next phase of our life. We're becoming the next version of ourselves. And my body's like, there's another version of you. Do you accept? So now I'm on another journey and I can't wait because it's been so fascinating what we pick up and what we heal and what we let go of and who we become along when you just accept that, let your body lead.
Beautiful. So how would, if someone was wanting to work with you, like what might that look like?
Yes. Okay. So I start with my single sessions. So we drop into a single session together and we let the body lead. So you let me know what's going on. They talk to me about what they would like to achieve. You know, what is their intention here? And then we dive into that. There's right away, I can usually pick up restriction, or if the vision is true, if the vision is true to them, or if the vision is a false egotistical vision of what they believe they should become. And then I just help to gently unpack with them, but again, allowing the client to feel into this vision until it becomes a full body yes. From there, we want to almost reverse engineer their vision of their body, and then help them to step into it by releasing any of the density, so the heavy energy that is weighing them down and keeping them from achieving this body. And so it's a very, I can tap in and I'll remove the energy for you. And then we can work over a voice text support as you integrate and as you calibrate. And almost each day I'm receiving different movements that your body is desiring to help really land and anchor in and support, right? The physical body is like that container. So they require that physical support, which again, strength training builds muscle mass. And anyways, so we just let the body lead, and we create a beautiful soul-led strategy, and I'm there to support the clients throughout their desired duration with me, whether that's a quick 2-week transformation just to get them into the vibe, or a longer transformation where they're really wanting to take themselves on a full experience.
Wow. I bet a lot of people listening to this have probably never even realized someone like you exists.
Here I am.
Here she is, everyone. Go get yourself some. That's what I say. Yeah, if you want, you know, a real Cassandra body looking glass, high vibrational, intuitive coach for your transformation of your body, I think there's no better place to go right now.
I appreciate that. Looking forward to working with all of you.
Yeah. And you know, I was looking at your name on Zoom, it's like Cassandra Glass. I'm like, hello, looking glass.
Oh,
hello.
I love it.
God. Yeah, right.
Brilliant.
And you also mentioned like looking at yourself in the mirror, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh. Woo. Woo. It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, right. Woo. The power codes coming in there. Wow. Thank you for doing what you're doing and sharing what you're sharing and offering this space of transformation and foreseeing and embodying the highest, yeah, kind of frequency body that those who are out there wish to have and be and inhabit and, yeah, enjoy. It's just like so exciting. This is epic.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. My pleasure. It has been amazing to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes.
You're so welcome. How can people get in touch with you or find you online?
Good question. Yeah, good question. So you can search me on Facebook, Cassandra Ann Glass. Request me as a friend. I would love to have you part of my community. My Instagram as well, Cassandra Ann Glass. You can find me there. Hop into my DMs anytime.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get involved, guys. Yeah.
Love
and
it.
If it's not something that's, you know, like right for you right now, perhaps there's someone you know out there, you know, who you have a friend or a family member or a colleague who could use this kind of service, this kind of help, this kind of quantum leap for their body and image and everything, right? And how to feel like the real person they're born to be. So yeah, bear that in mind. Yeah. So guys, thank you so much. And yeah, Cassandra, like, so honored to be on this call with you and to share in this way with you and to hear all your wonderful wisdom and experience and journey and what you now share with the world. And yeah, I just feel so honored. So thank you for showing up here today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So thanks so much for listening. Yes, and if you'd like to know more information about me, then please go to jodydeane.co. That's jodydeane.co. There you can find out information about my coaching services, one-on-one sessions, any online trainings and courses I'm offering, and I also have a little store which is growing with products and content. So yeah, don't be a stranger and have a look. And yes, please feel free to contact me. You can email me as well at flowninja99@gmail.com. And again, please share this podcast with your friends. And if you loved it, I would love a 5-star review on the iTunes store, Apple Podcast store. So thank you, yes, in advance. And hope you're well. New episode coming very soon.